Welcome to this podcast featuring well-known Bible teacher, Kevin Connor. For more information, visit kevinconnor.org.
A lot to think about, and if you disagree agreeably, but don't throw it away. It might be right, okay? Check it out, prove these things, so you understand where I'm coming from here on that. So any real serious questions here just before I turn it back to yes? Do you want to come, will we do, so everybody can hear the question, and you want it for the little, the beastie there? Okay.
During the separation at the second coming, are those people Christians or non-Christians? And if they are cast into the gnashing of teeth, is that a final judgment or?
Yeah, I think in that case, they are non-Christians because they're cast in the lake of fire. But there are other parables which frighten me, a good healthy fear, where Jesus said that to the believers that I think it's a Luke one, that put them out and give them their portion with the unbelievers and with the wicked. So there will be some judgment, but some will go in the lake of fire, but others will, this is how I understand at the moment, that they will go through the tribulation and lose their life. They won't lose their salvation, but lose their life. So that deals with some other parables. But these two here particularly deal with the furnace of fire. So I believe in these cases, dealing with the wicked. But then you've got to think of apostasy, the tares of apostate wheat. Right? And so Judas, he became an apostate, yet he used to be an apostle. So I think you've got to think of that. So that's where I'd come from. Someone else had a hand here? Yes. Do you want to come here and say, sorry?
Okay, at the point when Christ returns, the judgment seat of Christ, mm-hmm. So when he judges the believers, but there's also a separation between the good and the wicked.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't that speak of the judgment of the great white throne? That's the first thing. The second thing is, mm-hmm. Okay, if the kingdom has got no mixture, but at the end of the millennium, the devil is released, who does he deceive?
Yes.
Right. And then we have the resurrection of the wicked. Mm-hmm. And then we have the judgment, the great white throne.
Yes.
So how do we bring that?
Yeah, okay. So first part of the question, I'd put it this way, as I understand here, that often in a verse, it sort of spans a whole area. So say here, the separation takes place here, but ultimately, the lake of fire and that doesn't happen till the end of 1,000 years. So you can safely superimpose separation of the second coming between the good and the wicked and the wheat and the tares and so forth. But the final judgment doesn't come to the great white throne judgment, which I see at the end of 1,000 years. So it can be safely, with scriptures from Revelation, superimposed that way. Does that sort of answer that? Yeah, so that's what I'd say. Your second part of the question about, as I understand it here, that at the end of 1,000 years, there's two major things happen. There's the resurrection of the ungodly dead, and there's the loosing of Satan. Now, why are the wicked dead raised? For one purpose. They've got to come up to the great white throne judgment. Their court case has to be judged. Why does the devil have to be loosed? He goes up the head and deceives the wicked resurrected dead. That's how I understand it, see? So, you see, the devil doesn't get cast in the lake of fire straight away. He has to have the court case. So I believe all the wicked dead, the baddies, they're waiting in their jail for the court case to come up. And the court case comes up at the end of 1,000 years at the great white throne judgment. And then the devil is judged. All the wicked whose names are not in the book of life, they're judged and thrown into the lake of fire. That's how I see that in the broadest sense. Okay, one other question here. Time's just about up. Mm-hmm.
How does the rapture fit into all this?
Do you want me to rapture the rapture? I believe in a rapture, but not a sneaky one. Okay, see, I used to believe in a secret rapture many years ago, and I used to do a lot of street meeting work, and I'd tell people, okay, if we're not here next Sunday, you know the rapture's taken place and you're left behind and you're going to get 666666 all over you. And then we didn't turn up the next Sunday, and neither did Jesus, and that's over 60 years ago. So I my own personal belief, having had to unlearn and relearn, my present stand is that I believe the rapture and the second coming take place at the same time. Because a lot of the theory of the rapture, which I had great anointings on until I found I was wrong, is built on 7 years tribulation. And as I say to people, okay, there's 57 sevens in the book of Revelation. The only seven that's not there is 7 years. Nobody can find me 7 years tribulation anywhere. And they get upset about, look, I say, if you want 7 years tribulation, you can have 107 for all I care. Yeah? But there's 9 references to 3.5 years tribulation in Daniel and Revelation, never 1 to 7. And because the rapture is built on that, if you can't find 7 years, it sort of ruptures the secret rapture. So my present view is the rapture, I call the 3 R's, the revelation and the rapture, the revelation, the resurrection and the rapture take place at the same time. So Paul puts it this way, when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven, the flaming fire and the angels, everything like that's Revelation, Apocalypse. Then he says the dead in Christ will rise first. So resurrection. In fact, a Baptist brother told me that the first ones up in the resurrection are going to be the Baptists. I said, where do you get that from? He said, well, it says the dead in Christ will rise first. I said, I didn't say that. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. So as I see it, it's revelation, resurrection, rapture. If you have a secret rapture 7 years before, you're going to have another third resurrection. And the Bible only teaches 2 resurrections, one at the beginning of 1,000 years and one at the end of 1,000 years. All right, one more question, and then I'm saved by the gong. Yes. Okay. Yeah, come on out here so everybody can hear it, you know. Because this tape's going to go into all the world. $100 each.
You mentioned that there will be a time of exposure, mm-hmm. whereby there was a part of your life where you see a lot of people move in the anointing of the Spirit, but yes. they were exercising a double life.
Yes.
And you mentioned something about you had to recover from that, and
yes.
you mentioned a particular chapter, Ezekiel 18, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure whether you mentioned a specific part of a verse or what did God reveal to you on that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I personally believe the time of exposure is on now. I think there's been mixture. The worst scenario is, say, the whole sad thing of homosexuality, that was a secret thing. It's coming out now. And so the worst thing when I'm in America, down in California, now it's happening in Australia, Pentecostal homosexual churches, and they're proud of it. They're open with it now. They're exposing. So the inner nature and character, which has been in the closet for years, is just coming out in the open. Sin is becoming more open and brazen now than ever. So I see mixture and exposure, and it's taking place now. And it's going to get worse. I mean, some of the things happening in our own nation, mixed marriage, same-sex marriage, and everything like that. So, hey, so I believe it's on. And so what shocked me was, years ago, it was all secret. Because in the Voice of Healing days, they operate the gifts and everything like that. And I said, how can they do this without holiness? And that was what took me months to recover, till I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, well, gifts of the Spirit are no evidence of holiness. Preaching is no evidence of holiness. That's a gift. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. It's what my inner life is. That's it. So that was the thing. And so the Ezekiel thing, that if the wicked turn from his wickedness, none of his wickedness shall be remembered, only his righteousness. But the same is true on the other side of the scale. If the righteous turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and here was the secret to it, and dies in his iniquity, none of his righteousness shall be remembered. And so when Jesus said to those who said, Lord, we've cast out devils, prophesy, he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. That was the thing, the iniquity. They died in their iniquity, unrepentant. That was it. Okay, God bless you for being such a wonderful, intelligent bunch. If I've said things you don't agree with, don't throw it away. Meditate on it, you know, because I don't have all the light, but this is where I'm at the moment. So I hope the series on the parables has helped you. And thank you, Hong Sing.
Be sure to visit kevinconnor.org for more information about Kevin, his books, and his ministry.